the Brazilian team, Flamengo, was losing when we had left the first town. And all of a sudden, you could just hear like both of these towns erupt in just fireworks and yelling, and it was insane. And it was because Flamengo had just scored a goal.
Hello, and welcome to the Kick It With Katie podcast.
Hey team, it's Katie here, and today I have Brennan Neely, and he is out of Utah. So welcome, Brennan, and why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and kind of tell everybody how you got into soccer and where you started.
Sweet. Thanks for having me on. My soccer journey's been, it's been a long one for sure. The earliest kind of memories I have with soccer were getting my first ball from my grandma. I was like 5 years old and she gave me a ball, and that kind of got me into it. It's always been kind of a family thing, which is weird. Neither of my parents played, but me and my little brother were so into it. And then some of our closest like family, our cousins, were also kind of a big part of the journey. So I started out playing AYSO when I was like, I mean, little, like everyone does, probably 5 or 6. And I played that for a couple years. My cousin, his name's Gabe, he played with me, and then he started playing for a traveling team, which to me at the time was like the most insane thing ever when I was 9 or 10. And he started playing there, and he'd come play AYSO with us. And then I don't know if, I think it was when we were around 10 or 11, but he came and said, I'm done with AYSO stuff and I'm only going to play for Sparta, was the team. And I was like destroyed that he was going to be leaving me and I wasn't going to get to play with my cousin anymore. So I talked to my parents a little bit about it, and we kind of decided I was going to go try out for this club team, which for me at the time was like crazy because I was so bad. Like, it's actually crazy to think back to that and kind of the training I'd had up to that point. I was just not good. So when we did tryouts, obviously, and then made the second team for my age group, and I was on that team for a number of years. I was coached by Damian, and after a couple years there and kind of getting a little bit better, I got asked to move up and to play on the first team with Justice, with your husband, which was awesome. It was kind of crazy at the time because I was, I had kind of been bred to like hate that team because they were like the first team and I was the second team. And so when I got the call like, hey, do you want to come? I was like, yes. But on the inside, I was, I don't know, I wasn't super stoked about it. And I actually remember, I know right where I was at when Justice called me and he was all, hey, we wanted to offer you a spot on the first team. And I was like, cool. And he was all, you don't sound very excited about it. And I don't know, like 12 or 13 year old me, I couldn't really hide my emotions very good. And I was like, sad to leave my friends, but I was excited about it. But then from there, I mean, got on that team, and which was an incredible experience all around. I wasn't a starter for a long time, just kind of trying to work my way up, and I eventually got into a starting role there after probably a year or two, and kind of held that until we moved on to when the age group split happened and everything like that. But that team was amazing to be a part of. Like, the guys that are on that team I still have contact with and are some of my closest friends, even if I see them like relatively infrequently. When we all see each other, it's awesome. So that was really kind of cool part of growing up, was being on that team just for the relationship aspect of it. It was really cool.
Good group of boys.
Yeah, for sure. It was so fun. And Justice in that was just like the perfect coach for that team. Everyone wanted to be there, everyone wanted to win, and I was always just like super, super competitive. Just that's just my personality, and having him as a coach and wanting to go compete and win things and travel was like exactly what I needed. And so it was right around that age, probably 13, 14, that ODP stuff kind of started. And so I started doing those tryouts every year, and I made the team a couple times. One year I made it, and I broke my collarbone right before they traveled, so I didn't get to go do that. But then my ODP was a super awesome experience, and I didn't really know why I was doing it at the time. Looking back now, I'm happy I did, because that was kind of what gave me the eventual opportunity to play in college. All the coaches there were, I mean, they're obviously there looking for those players. A lot of them just love to be there, but a lot of them go there because it's a recruiting kind of possibility for them. And there's a coach, his last name's Hofer. He was one of the assistant coaches at Westminster at the time, a couple years ago, where I am now. And my last year of ODP, he was the assistant coach for the Utah ODP team, so I kind of got to interact with him, and played really well when we went and traveled to ODP regionals, and that kind of got me in contact with different coaches. I had a couple offers from out-of-state schools and from Dixie or Utah Tech now, and I had could have gone and played in California for a school called Pacific, which is Division One, and then Utah Tech. But I eventually ended up picking Westminster because I'm a total homebody. I love to be around family, and it's close. So ODP was a really fun experience as well. Like, a lot of the guys that I learned to grow up just despising in club ended up being people who I kind of made cool relationships with in ODP, just because we all got put together, which is super fun. But yeah, towards the end of our kind of club stuff, our team obviously got split up with the age split, like I said, and we kind of had a couple of rebuilding years, and then went and won regionals my last year, which was incredible. It was super fun to be able to be the first boys team to do that, and fun to be there with Justice too, just because that was something that he'd been after for so long. It's super fulfilling, and I don't know. I mean, there's so many things that come into my mind. I don't know if there's specific things you kind of want me to go to, because there's so many stories that come to my head. I think when I start talking about all that stuff, I could go forever and ever.
just share whatever you feel like sharing. You know, I know we had the awesome experience in Spain, you know, getting your perspective on that, like what you think, you know, even just the tournament building up to that, how that was, because that was crazy also.
Yeah, that was probably one of the more cool experiences I ever got to be a part of. The year before, I played up with Justice's OOs in that same Vegas tournament. I don't know, for the people who are listening, it's U16 or U17 age group. Whoever wins the Las Vegas Mayors tournament gets a week of training at Real Madrid. And, so when I was a year younger, I played up with the OOs in that tournament, and we did okay. We didn't win it. And then the next year I played my own age group with the 01 Sparta team, and that tournament was probably one of the peak moments for us as a team. We played so good. We smashed everybody, and I think it was just like, it was obviously a huge motivation to get to be able to go play in Spain if we were to win, and we played some top-level teams and beat them, and that was incredible. And then going to Spain was one of the coolest experiences of my life. From a soccer perspective, we went there, and it was like a full week. We stayed in the Spanish national team hotel, which is off of the Real Madrid campus, but just by a little bit. That was incredible to be there with the whole team and to kind of get to sightsee a little bit and then get to train. I remember going there. We got there on the first day, and they have like all of these hedges that are trimmed perfectly into Real Madrid, like to spell out Real Madrid, and that was amazing. And then we got our own locker room, which was so cool. We had a locker room and some stuff that they had put in there for us, some jerseys. And I'm not a Real Madrid fan. I'm a Barca fan, but
Yeah.
to wear one of those crests and be given it by the actual team was cool. So that was amazing. That week was incredibly hot. It was like over 100 every single day. I actually have some cleats in my closet here that I wore there, and the bottoms of them like came off
Melted.
just from the heat. Yeah, they
Yeah.
melted and came off, and I had to re like duct tape them just so that I could keep playing that week, and it was
Right.
incredible. Played a couple Spanish academies while we were there. We played Deportivo. I can't remember it because it was
Was it
Alaves. We played
Lega?
Alaves.
Did we play Leganas as well? One of those.
I don't know. I need to go back and look at those because we played multiple games.
Yeah.
But they were awesome.
Well, like the first game that we played when we rode on the bus to the first game, and I don't know how anybody else felt, but I was like, I don't see anything because we were like in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then all of a
Yep.
sudden, there was a little mini soccer stadium for this
Yep.
team in the middle of nowhere. Like it was crazy. Like, and that field was better than any field we could play on here in Utah,
Yeah,
aside
for
from
sure.
maybe a turf field. And so I was just like, I guess there's the Real Stadium now, but
Yeah.
it was crazy that like this little hometown club had their own amazing stadium thing, and the people in the
Yeah.
town were amazing and awesome. But it was just, it was crazy that all of a sudden it just popped out of nowhere.
Yeah. We're in the middle of like the Spanish desert, just nothing to be found, and then a little town pops up and they were good. That team, I think we beat that team handily. I don't remember the score, but that was super fun. It was cool to go just like be in that environment and to see like I love having grown up in the States and in Utah, but that kind of environment and vibe of just like that town knew everybody on that team, and they were their friends and brothers and cousins, and they were all the players on that team. Kind of
Yeah.
made for a really cool vibe, and just the fact that they all love it that much that they
Yeah.
devote part of the town to make a literal stadium for this little hometown team is super cool.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
They had their little snack bar that we were all getting our
Yep.
drinks from and tapas and whatever.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was a fun atmosphere. It was fun for us to experience that because, in the United States, soccer is not first at all. And
For
so
sure.
being in a country where the sport is literally number one, it was really
Yeah.
cool. And
Yeah.
I mean,
It was
all the
incredible.
sightseeing that we got to do. I what was your Because I don't know. I know that there's been some people that have gone to certain things. I don't know if they did it before, but some people I have seen, I don't know if anybody from your team have done it since, but like gone to these European stadiums and watched, the EPL or La Liga or whatever. And so what was your take when we got to go to the stadium? Like, how chaotic
Yeah.
did you feel like it was when we were there at Real Madrid's stadium? Because they were playing Barcelona, which it was
Yep.
awesome as Barca fans, but it was also
Yeah.
not because we lost.
Yeah,
But
I know.
how was
It was
it just being in
brutal.
that environment?
It was incredible. I mean, it was everything I could have hoped for as a, even though it was in the Santiago Bernabéu, like being a Barca fan, it was about as good as it could have got. And I mean, going to that stadium, it was cool. All the roads for like a mile around the stadium were closed and it was walking only. There was no cars. And just the amount of people on the street and then walking into the stadium. We had gone through there a couple of days earlier when it was empty. But going in there with it full was insane. I mean, we were up high, which kind of it didn't take away from it at all for me.
No, I like because the being atmosphere up high in that throughout environment, yeah, the atmosphere throughout the whole stadium was insane. Like, it was, didn't matter if you were in the nosebleeds or what, it was just still an awesome experience, for sure.
And I was in a sea of white wearing my Barcelona jersey, and that was, like, I don't know, it was just, like, being true to my 10-year-old self, like, I had that flag in my room forever, and it was cool. I remember when they walked out to warm up, the Barcelona team came out and like everyone just started whistling, and how loud that was insane. Mm-hmm. Just like, which seems weird, but I just can hear just like an ear piercing whistle from the entire crowd as they came out. And they did lose that game, and there was it sucked to see it as a Barca fan, but there was an amazing goal. Asensio scored a goal from like 25, 30 yards out, and it was freaking insane. And as much as I didn't want to cheer, I almost like wanted to cheer just because of how incredible like the atmosphere was in that moment, just in the stadium. Getting to see Messi live, and I mean, maybe we'll get to see him in the MLS, whatever, in person, but to see him in Barcelona colors was like a dream come true. It was amazing.
Yeah,
I wouldn't trade that for about anything. I have so many videos from that game, and it's funny because we were up high, so my videos, I mean, you can't really see much, but it was it was so cool. But that entire experience was amazing. And went and saw Camp Nou as well. Obviously, there wasn't a game being played there at the time. We just went and kind of did the tour, and that was so cool to see all the different, like, memorabilia and trophies and things that were in that stadium from all the players that have played there. Incredible to go stand down like pitch side
on the field,
look at the grass, was so cool. It'll be cool. I want to go back there now they're rebuilding that stadium, but that was amazing. Honestly, for me, the highlight of that week though was playing. I just wanted, like, the player inside of me wanted to be able to say not just that I'd been there, but that I'd played there, and to have done as well as we did. Because we beat that last team that was a first team, or a La Liga Academy, was...
Yeah.
It ended 4-3, and it was a really good game. We only had 17 or 18 guys, and they subbed an entire new team at halftime,
It was like they didn't think that we were going to be able to compete, and so they brought, like, their next, like, even the players underneath that, and then they were like, oh, this team can actually play, and so they called in other players and were like, hurry and get over here. Like, that's the vibe I got when they made that whole line change, basically. It was just like, they, you know, which was fine. We wanted to have a good game. We came over there to play good teams, and so that was fine. But I kind of felt like they were like, oh, they're from America. They're probably not going to be very good.
Yeah.
And the fact that we could hang with them and we're winning, and, you know, we scored some pretty cool goals. And, I mean, it was a good day.
It was awesome. I loved that. The only thing that would have made that trip better was, I don't know if you remember, but we were going to play Real Madrid's Academy. But we switched because the Dallas Cup Best 11 was also there. And so they played a game against them instead of us, which, whatever, on paper I get that decision from them. But that would have been the coolest thing ever. But honestly, that trip was amazing. It was rambunctious with all the boys in a hotel and literally no one else in the hotel. That kind of made for a fun situation. But
you guys kept breaking the elevator.
The elevators like cannot handle all
like
of us.
It was like a two-person it was like a super small elevator, and it's not even a very big building, and you guys would get in it and you'd put too many people in it, and it's like, guys, just walk up the freaking stairs. It's not like it's a high-rise.
Seriously.
Like, it wasn't even very tall. Like, but it was pretty funny. But we always talk about the food that we would eat, like, Because Justice, like, for breakfast, he would always make himself, like, a breakfast sandwich with the bread and the eggs and the bacon.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he was... And he's not usually a very breakfasty person. I definitely am. But it... I always just... I laughed. But now, like, he can't do breakfast sandwiches because of his post-COVID stuff. So... But we always talk about, like, the different things that we ate while we were there that... I don't know. And there was that one shopping center that we went to that was like American. It was like the American shopping center. There was like a KFC.
I don't remember that, actually.
Oh, well, it was. So there was that outdoor shopping mall that sort of reminds me of, like, for those of you that aren't in Utah, there's a not City Creek. It was more like the other one that they built first, the Gateway. And so it's an outdoor shopping center. Gateway. And in Utah, that's not very common because it snows here and it's wintry. And so most of our malls that we have are indoor. But we there was a Gateway. And, it, you know, it's just like a long stretch of road that has different shops that instead of being indoor in a mall, they're just outside in a like a strip mall kind of a thing. But it's a pretty nice setup. But there was one... and you guys would walk over to it and go shopping. There was like a Real Madrid store in there.
Oh, yes.
There was a couple different things over there, but across the street or something, there was some eating areas, and that part was definitely really American because there was like a KFC. Because for the most part, when we were in Spain, like you could only find Coke products, and I hate Coke. And so when we found the KFC, I was so happy because they actually had Pepsi. And so
that's funny.
I mean, and it was just really funny because there was like a. It was like a 50s diner, like a
Grease I remember being in there.
Place. And so I went there once or twice. And anyway, it was just, it was super funny. Just that area that we would go walk in because it wasn't that far away from where we were staying. But yeah, it was definitely interesting because we also, that there was that time that we went to, I can't remember, it was at night and. They had the, they basically just let us wander around for like 2 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
And we went into me and Justice and his sister because I'm like, when we were in Spain, in the bathrooms, they did not have like washcloths. Like for those of you that don't know what a washcloth is, it's a super tiny towel that you can like wash your face with. I use one in the shower or whatever. And they didn't have anything like that in the bathrooms. And I was freaking out. And I wish my parents have traveled internationally a bunch of times and they didn't tell me that that's like a United, like a U.S. thing. Not even a lot of people in the United States do it. But anyway, I was like wigging out. And so we went to this department store and I was trying to just find a hand towel, like a washcloth, like just something. And I couldn't find one anywhere. And I finally went into, because this way that this store was set up, it also had like a mini grocery store in it, whatever it was. And so I went in there and I found like a loofah, but I was like wigging out this whole entire time. That's the funny thing that I remember are just like, just different cultural things that like, I didn't even think would be like an issue.
Yeah.
And then going, oh, this is something that is different. And like, it was super funny, but I loved all the shopping and, just seeing the people out in the crowd. There was one of the time I'm trying to remember what we saw on that big walkway. There was it a band that was playing or somebody on the
piano? In like that plaza?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember because there was something that everybody was crowded around one night.
There was, I mean, there's a couple things I can remember. There was a dude that was dressed as Spider-Man that had horrible English, but he was trying to get everyone to gather around with him. And then there were the dudes that would come in with the, there were the dudes that would come in with the sheets like Santa and they would open them up and they just had like knockoff glasses and like cologne and stuff like that. I remember, I don't know if you remember Dalton Gibson, but he sat there and bartered with one of the guys and he got the price down from like $50. It would have been like $50 to like $20. But he didn't have change for his 50. So he handed the guy the 50 and got the cologne. And then he stood there waiting for his change. And the guy was like, what? And he was like, I need my $30 in change. And the guy never gave him the change. He was just like, I didn't. We
Oh
didn't make that
man.
deal. Just kind of totally screwed him out of $30. But
Oh man, that
I don't know.
sucks.
Yeah, it was funny though.
Yeah. It was a good
But
experience.
that experience was awesome, and that was the last thing I did with the team before I went to the RSL Academy for a second. And so that experience was cool too because it was kind of our last little thing as a team. And then when I came home, it was end of July or beginning of August, so school was getting started. And I had been to a Real Salt Lake, they held an open tryout, which I don't think they do like ever now, but it was for the
I don't think
academy.
so.
Yeah, it was when they were transitioning from Arizona to here. And I went there and did well at the tryout, and they asked me to come. Basically, I was on the team, but it was like a continuation of the tryout. They had picked like two of us to like come on. And so when I got home, I had a couple days at home, and then the Real Salt Lake Academy and the dorms weren't finished completely yet. So they actually,
Right.
I did move out, quote unquote, but we were just living in a hotel at the time. And I went there. I was there for, I don't, it was super short. I don't even know if it was a month. It was maybe like 2 weeks, if that, 3 weeks. But we trained every day. It was a super, from a soccer perspective, a super amazing experience to get to go and be a part of that. We started school, so I went to school at the Real Salt Lake Academy for the time that I was there. And that was interesting because I don't know how it is now. Obviously, they've been established for a couple more years. At the time, it kind of felt like it was the team and a bunch of random kids that happened to go to that school, and it was kind of a weird division line. But
Yeah.
I'm sure it was just because it was starting, and also it's high school with a bunch of little kids. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. And I think it's
But
a charter. I think it's a charter school as well,
yeah,
from what I can
correct.
remember. So that's a little bit different than just a regular high school. For those that don't know what a
Yeah.
charter school is, you basically go into a lottery to see if your kid is picked for that school or not, and it's still public school, but it's a little bit more, it's different in a way, kind of.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. It was cool though. It was super small. I think if I would have stayed there, I don't know how much I would have loved it for the school. And that was kind of all that kind of stuff was what led to me deciding I was out and I didn't want to live there and stay there. I mean, from a soccer, people always ask me, they're like, do you regret not staying there? Because as much as people don't want to maybe believe me, it truly was like 100% my choice that I was out. I had been there for a couple weeks. We were about to play our first game. The coach said I was going to be the starter. And when we trained, when we did inter squads leading up to that first game, I was in the starting position. So I knew I could hang from a soccer perspective. But it was really hard, like mentally and emotionally at 15 and a half or 16 to be out of the house. And even though I was still here in the valley, I didn't see my family the whole week. And then at the end of the week, when it was an RSL game on Saturday night, I could go home with my parents on Saturday night and wake up in my house on Sunday. And then I had to be back out to the academy at like 5 p.m. So that was tough for me, just mentally. I mean, definitely there's kids that can go do that and like that's what they want to do, but for me it was like I was happy for the 2 hours a day that we were playing, and it was amazing for that amount of time. And like the actual soccer part of it was incredible and I loved it. And then as soon as we would leave, I was like, I don't belong here and I don't feel comfortable here. And like I think academies are definitely, I mean, they've come far from where I, even from when I was there. I mean, 7 or 8 years ago, but or maybe it's not been that long, it's been more like 5 or 6. But there's more to it than just the soccer, and it's hard, I think, for people to realize that sometimes. But so I came home and I was like, I couldn't do it mentally. It was too hard for me. And maybe if I would have stuck it out, maybe I would have been in a better position soccer wise. But I do not regret that decision at all. The experiences I had with clubs still after that were incredible. Playing at nationals multiple times, going to national semifinals, winning regionals. Like, we still played at pretty much the highest level I could have hoped for. And I loved that. But the academy was an interesting situation because there were multiple boys from that Sparta team. There, I mean, Easton Harriman and Casey, Kevin Lopez. There were multiple guys that right at that period of time went there. And some came and went. Obviously, I came and went. Some of them stayed. Some went a little bit later and finished. And they were like, I'm not. I'm done. And
yeah,
so it's just interesting.
That's when Zach Farnsworth, who is still with the first team, he's injured.
Correct.
But he also went. So there were, I think, about six of you guys that went.
Yeah.
And a couple of them, like you said, a couple of them stayed the entire time. A couple of them came back. A couple of them did other things. So, it was definitely, for it being as new as it was to the area, was interesting. But it was... So when you... Because, like, you started a little bit later into soccer. What was your... Did you ever have, like, an ultimate goal that you wanted to reach as a player? Or was it just you want to be able to just keep playing as much as possible? And whatever that looks like, that's fine with me.
I mean, even now, like, I have a year... I'm a junior right now at Westminster, so I have a year left. Even now, I'm like, maybe I would... try and go play pro. I have buddies who played at Westminster that are now playing in like on USL championship sides, or they're trying to keep playing. When I started, I think initially my ultimate goal was I wanted to play pro. If you would have asked me when I was 12, I would have said I want to play pro. And I thought I was going to go play for Barcelona. But like, getting a little bit older and kind of getting a little bit more experience, I was like, okay, it would be cool to play in college. That would be a cool goal. And I never really had that in the forefront of my mind as we were kind of growing up when I was 15, 16, 17. Even when I, like, my senior year, it wasn't, like, my number one concern with soccer. I just wanted to win then, I guess. So I was so concerned with, like, I want to win State Cup. I want to win regionals. I want to win nationals. I wanted to win DPL at the time, which was way more competitive than it is now. But I wanted to win those things then. And I think it was always the back of my mind that I wanted to play after. But it wasn't like I was going out of my way all the time. And I think I could have done a better job of marketing myself as a player to kind of play in college and stuff. But in playing at that higher level, eventually I was like, okay, this is fun and I love competing. And then once that was kind of understood and I was 16 or 17 by then, I was like, okay, I want to play after. And then I kind of started to pursue a little bit of the college idea. And luckily, like I said, was kind of just right place, right time, and had a coach that saw me and wanted me, and the school was a good fit. But I don't think starting out, that was necessarily like the first thing. I mean, if you would have asked me when I was 8 and just getting onto Sparta, or when I was 9 or 10, whatever, I did not care. And I think that's okay. I feel like there's a huge push right now sometimes to, like, have kids specialize in a sport, or to have them go so hard when they're so young to try and get to some goal. And I think it's okay for it to develop over time and have them be like, yeah, this is something that I do want to be a part of and want to continue after, or this is something that's fun for now, and I'm, once it's done, it's done. I'm not like that tied up on it. And I don't know, that's kind of how it was for me once I got a little bit older and I was like, I just like competition, whether it's soccer or whatever, and this is a way for me to kind of fill that personal kind of need that I enjoy. And so yeah, it kind of developed for me over time.
And so tell me about, because I'm not I can't remember, but did you play at Westminster and then go on your mission, or did you, how did that work? So for those of you that don't know, Brennan went and lived in Brazil for 2 years. He served a Latter-day Saint mission in Brazil, which I would think as a soccer player would be totally awesome.
It was awesome. It was
my so brother sick. Went there, but he was not a soccer person. But you go on like a service mission for your church, and you live and serve the people of a different area for, you know, 18 months, 2 years. And when you go into sports, a lot of times you have to play a year to secure like a spot or something, and then you can go and then you can come back. So what was the pathway for you with that? Because I'm not familiar with it myself. I don't know what it is now, if it's changed.
Yeah, so mission age is 18, so right as I graduated high school, it was kind of like, okay, or in the months leading up to it, I was like, okay, am I gonna go, am I gonna stay? And that was kind of a conversation once I was being recruited by a couple different schools that I had with those coaches and said, okay, this is my plan. I'm going to go on a mission. What does that look like for you? And it's hard because I think people sometimes think that you're able to just like 100% decide the timing of it. And sometimes you can't. Like sometimes coaches are like, this is when I have this opportunity for scholarship, or this is when we have spots on the team. And so this is kind of when we need you here. Fortunately for me, I kind of got to pick, and I chose to go right after high school. So I graduated at the beginning of June, and I left on my mission kind of mid-August, and was out for 8 months. COVID happened, came home. I actually went to Miami, so I was in Miami for a year, which also was a total soccer destination. South American and Central American influence, just Latin culture in general in Miami is super heavy. Mm-hmm. And so getting to be there, I mean, I played futsal with people all the time. We like kind of set up a little group that we'd go play with, which was super fun. And then I went back to Brazil. In Brazil, I mean, like you said, that was a dream too, just to be there and be the soccer person that I am, and then to be in that culture. Really quickly, there's this one time, just this is one of my favorite soccer related memories from Brazil. I was walking down the middle of a road. I was in between two towns, and there was this huge tournament going on in South America. It's called Copa Libertadores, which is like their big, like it's across all the countries in South America. And a team from Brazil called Flamengo was playing Boca from Argentina. Or no, they were playing River Plate, sorry. And if anyone's a Boca or River Plate fan, they're going to be bugged that I just made that. But it was Flamengo versus River Plate. And I remember being in between these two towns, just walking down this road, and the Brazilian team, Flamengo, was losing when we had left the first town. And all of a sudden, you could just hear, like, both of these towns erupt in just fireworks and yelling, and it was insane. And it was because Flamengo had just scored a goal, and then they had scored another goal in the 90th minute plus one to go up. Mm-hmm. And when we finally made it into the other town, the game had just ended, and people were, like, running out on the street and throwing chairs out of a bar, just, freaking out, and it was incredible. Yeah. So just the soccer part of that. But going back to kind of the timing of the mission thing and soccer with that. So I was there for 2 years, came home in July of 2021. And I had kind of worked out with the coach beforehand. I mean, you have a conversation with them, and it's good to be, I think, open and let them know, hey, this is my plan. So that they can be like, okay, this is what we can do. This is how we can help. This is how we cannot. And so I came back home and had just under 6 weeks before our first game. So after not playing for 2 years, kind of had to start getting back into shape. And I had spent the last 3 months of my mission. I would wake up at 5:30 every morning and work out for a little bit, and then get on a ball for a little bit. And that definitely helped. And then coming home, had just those couple of weeks to kind of get back in shape. And Definitely was a little bit slower coming back. Definitely was not in the same shape I was when I left. I mean, we had just played nationals when I left on my mission like 2 weeks earlier, so I was basically in tip-top shape and came back, was a little bit rusty for a sec, and I worked my way into the team. I played like five different positions my freshman year. But it was cool. It's been an amazing experience playing at Westminster. There's definitely ups and downs. College sports are just like that. I've had injuries. I've hurt my knees, hurt my back. I've kind of had to be out for periods of time. And one piece of kind of advice maybe I would give to people who are thinking about that is, while it's important that you play for a good team, obviously I wanted to play for a good team, and Westminster's been great in that aspect. Just like with the leaving and going to an academy thing, it's not the only thing you're doing. So if you hate the school and you hate the area and you hate everything about it except for the soccer, you probably won't last there and you probably won't enjoy it like you could. Whereas, like, yeah, it's close to home and that's my personality, but I liked being close to home. I liked the area. The school kind of, it meets my needs for how I wanted, and that's, I think, contributed to having a better kind of overall experience just with soccer and the school and everything in general. I think if I were somewhere that I didn't like with people that I didn't like at a school that I didn't like, you think you're going to be able to be like, oh, I'm just going to last it out and I'm just going to do it for the soccer. It's really hard to do that. And also, you're only playing soccer for 2 hours a day, and for, I mean, you play all year, but it's not like that's your whole life all the time. You still have like probably 80% or 90% of your time is spent doing things that aren't related to that. So it's been really good, and it's because I think I picked a place where I loved being there and I love the soccer aspect of it too. So it's been awesome. The mission timing was interesting, but getting back now has been good and I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and is your brother at Westminster as well?
Yeah, he is. So he came back from his mission. He served in Mexico. He got back in July, so he's been home for about 6 months. He came home and he's had kind of a tough little run. He was starting to get some minutes, and he tore his ACL in one of the games, and so he's out until next fall. But having him there is fun. It'll be super fun to have him like back and healthy when he is at the end of this summer. But he is there with me, and I had some super close friends from high school sign there as well. Kids that are like a year older than me and a year younger than me that I played with at Brighton, and that was super fun. It's been incredible to have them close there too. So if you can put yourself in an environment that you enjoy the people, maybe, I mean, not everyone's going to have an opportunity to play with their brother and some of their best friends wherever they go, but if you can kind of pick an environment instead of just picking a soccer team if you want to play in college, I think it's super beneficial.
Yeah, I mean that's been some of the most reoccurring messages from former college soccer players is make sure that if you have to take the sport out of it and you only have the schooling, like make sure that that's a place that if you get injured or you decide to quit, like that you're going to want to stay there. Like if you're only there for the sport, then it's probably not the place you should be
For
long
sure.
term. So I totally get that because that's, I mean, it's been a reoccurring message, and so I hope people know that, like, you know, there's so many other things to think about when you're going to be signing with a college or an
Yeah.
academy if you're going to an academy, because like you
For
said,
sure.
I know plenty of players that have gone to not just Real Salt Lake but other academies across the nation, and some of them have stayed and some of them have not, and there's
Yeah.
different variables as to why they left. It's not always, a lot of times it isn't even the sport. A lot of times it's
Yeah.
other factors outside of the actual soccer sessions and things, it's, you know, that they don't like and they don't enjoy. And obviously that will translate over into the soccer eventually if it gets to be that bad. So
for sure.
So you definitely want to make sure the environment that you're in is good for you as a human being and keeping you mentally straight and fit. So that way when you go on the pitch and play, that you're in that right mental headspace. Otherwise you won't perform. So, 100%. Do you have any other advice 100%. For any kids out there? Any advice for youth players or coaches or just any general advice that you want to give? Or, I mean, you already gave your big piece of advice about the picking a school, but if there's anything else you want to throw out there, go for it. If not, that's all right as well.
I don't know. I mean, there's a million things that come to my mind, and I'm trying to think of what's the most important of them. I think for me, it's hard because youth sports are an interesting an interesting kind of thing. I think sometimes parents push their kids in to do it. Sometimes parents don't care. I work part of my time in college now as a trainer. I just do trainings with younger players, and I had a group this past summer, and on the first day we were doing like a week-long group training, and the first day one of the kids goes, I don't even want to be here, I just want to play baseball. And I was like, bro, I'm so sorry like that you're here, because at the end of the day, like, as fun and cool as sports are, it's just like maybe one part of your life that can just add to it. So I would just say, as long as it's fun, go all in on it. If it's not fun, it's fine. There's a million other things you can do, and there's a million other ways you can go. So that might be kind of a boring answer, but make it fun. Because growing up, I had probably the best experience I could have asked for. And it's because the environments I chose and my parents helped me choose fit me. I had a coach that I'm super competitive, and I had a coach that wanted to be super competitive. And some people, that's not their goal. And some kids, that's not their goal. Mm-hmm. And that's totally fine. Like, you don't need to go spend money and time and all this thing doing things that they're like, eh, about, that they're kind of iffy and like, whatever. If that's what they want, great. But don't force whatever you want on the kid, because they're not going to love it, and they're not going to get what they, I think, could get out of it if it was matching their personality and their commitment level. So that's what I would say. Make it fun, and whatever that looks like. If that's balls of the wall competitive, fine. And if it's, this is what we do, and we only do it a couple times a month, and that's the team that we're on, that's fine. And if it's not at all, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Just make it fun, because that's what the point of all this is. So that's what I would say.
I totally agree, making sure that the kids are having fun, because if you don't enjoy it, like, you're not going to want to do it long term. It'll seem like a job to you versus just an extracurricular activity that's providing so many other things other than just the soccer. But and that could go for any sport, any activity. You know, just making sure that you want to be there. Yes, there will be days where you might go, I don't want to go. But as long as it's not every single time. You know, if it's every single time, obviously there's a problem. But if it's, you know, maybe every once in a while, you're just like, I don't want to go. Like, that's different than I hate doing this. I hate being there. I dislike it, whatever. And that, again, that goes for any sport, any activity that any kids might be in. And, you know, sometimes you do, as a parent, have to encourage people to try new things. But obviously, if they've tried it and it's not working out, then obviously they don't need to keep doing it. And so that's always fine. Important because it's their, and it's their experiences. It's not yours. I know that there were a lot of people who like to live vicariously through their kids, and because, you know, they want to give them the things that they never got. And, you know, that's something, but you don't want your kids to resent you or not like you because you feel like, you know, I'm only doing this for them. And that's never good either. And that's terrible for relationships, for families anyway. But As long as the players are having fun, that is definitely always the best thing, and providing those environments. I know we try to provide those environments, having fun while we're competing, whatever that looks like. But I've had a great time talking with you, Brennan, and getting to catch up, because we haven't talked since I don't even know when. But it's great to see your face, and but seeing how you guys have been doing, keeping up with you guys on social media is great. Catch Brennan. Guys are kind of in the off season right now.
We get back in the fall. We'll have a couple kind of random games in the spring here, but we'll get back to the championship season in the fall, starting in August.
So that'll be fun to watch. We've checked out some games if they're ever streaming. I don't think we've been to any actual games because it's too hard for us to
come on
get to anybody's games, because there's so many of you guys, and it's like sometimes if we hit up one team we get a few players though, like a few of you are at the same place, so that's been fun to watch too. But thank you for coming on, and thanks for sharing your story and some of your experiences. And I will link Brennan's Instagram in his show notes if you are local and you want to possibly check him out for personal training that he does. You can always get in contact with him with his training as well, or just keep up with what he's doing at Westminster for soccer.
Yeah, please do. Thanks, Katie.
Okay, thanks, Brennan, and hope you have a great day.
You too. See you later.
Thanks for kicking it with me, and have a great day. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at kickitwithkatiepodcast _between all the words. You can reach out to me with questions at kickitwithkatiepod@gmail.com. I also have a feature with SpeakPipe where you can leave me your own voicemail message if you want to be featured on the podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.